The text in your service folder this morning is just a portion of the entire section that I want to read. I'm going to begin not at verse 40, but at verse 36. So watch for this. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful, deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." This is God's word. Dear fellow redeemed, in the verses just preceding what we just read, Peter was bragging. And he was saying, "If everyone else runs away from you, Jesus, I won't. Even if I have to die with you," he said, "I'll never deny you." And Matthew records that all the disciples said the same thing. They were really confident. And in our text, it's as though Jesus is saying to them, "Wow, that's a really great promise of commitment and faithfulness that you guys have just made. Thanks. Why don't we start small and see whether or not you can manage to stay awake for a little while?" We've come to the point in the hours before the crucifixion of Jesus, where we're at a ringside seat seeing a battle between spirit and flesh. It's a battle that the disciples have to go through, just as we do. But it's also a battle that Jesus himself fights in the text. The context for this battle is an occasion that is very familiar to each one of us because we continually have opportunities to show a little human sympathy to people who are in need, don't we? To clap for someone who really needs to feel good about himself for a change, or to sit quietly with someone who is too sad to speak, or to throw an arm around somebody's shoulder and say, "Listen, I know what you're going through. I know how hard this is." That's all Jesus wanted from his disciples. He knew they couldn't take his place in what was going on, but he wanted a little human sympathy from them. He wanted them to show that they cared, that they got it and understood that he was facing a very difficult time. And they blew it. Their spirits might have been willing, but Jesus says their flesh, which is the hideout for the sinful, fallen human nature in us, he said their flesh was weak. And before you and I condemn those disciples for that weakness in them. Maybe we need to examine our own lives and ask if we've ever let ourselves be too tired to care about somebody else, or too busy to help, or too overwhelmed with our own emotional needs to comfort somebody else. You know, the law of God says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's a really powerful admonition that you and I are not to put ourselves first, but rather to think of others. And time again, just like the disciples, we blow it. And it's because of our flesh. It's because our flesh is weak and corrupt and broke and sick with self-centeredness. You know, Jesus was in a battle himself the night of our text. The devil had come to him, must have really tormented him. You can almost hear the devil saying to Jesus, do you realize how much crucifixion is going to hurt? You've got a few hours of real shame and humiliation in front of you. We can almost hear the devil saying to Jesus, the worst part of this whole thing is going to be when your own father turns his back on you and lets you die drenched in guilt. The devil's torments and tests must have been awful for Jesus, because he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death. And he prayed, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But thankfully, he continued his prayer and he said, yet not my will, but as you will. Just a few short words, but you know, those words are the summary of Christ's obedience to his Father and his commitment to the salvation of your soul. Because it was not the betrayal of Judas that put Jesus in harm's way. And it was not the verdict of a kangaroo court that made him guilty. And it was not the nails that kept him on the cross. It was his compassion for sinners like us that moved him to think more of us than he thought of himself, to care more about our spiritual welfare and our eternal salvation than his own physical safety. He loved us as he loved himself. In fact, he loved us even more. And that's why Jesus did for us what we could never have done for ourselves. Jesus lived perfectly as our representative. You see it in the text where he obeys the law of love. You can see it in that selflessness, in that sympathy for your problem. You can see it in his willingness to put you first and do what was necessary to save your soul. Jesus obeyed the law of love for you. And then he went to the cross, took the punishment we deserve for everything that's wrong with us. And then God raised Jesus from the dead on Easter to declare to the whole world that the righteousness of Christ and the forgiveness of sins extends to everyone in the human race. It even extends to the campus of Bethany College in Mankato, Minnesota, 2,000 years later. In Africa, the Kenyans are really great runners world class, Olympic class. And they have a saying, if you want to run fast, go alone. If you want to run far, go with others. I suspect there are some others around here who need us to go with them as they run through life. Maybe not exactly hand in hand, but at least heart to heart, with a little human sympathy for those in our lives who are in need. And there is only one thing that will motivate us to be that kind of people, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. This triumphant servant who cared more about us than he cared about himself. And he didn't do it just as an example to us. He did it by being the Savior for us, by being the one for whose sake our sins are forgiven, the one who has redeemed us to be his own, and the one who now strengthens us to show our love for him in our commitment to the others. Amen.